Back in my RUF campus ministry days, I knew a guy named Doug. Doug went to Oklahoma City, planted a church. You can check out what his church is about. I think it looks like a great church. I've never personally been, but knowing what I know about Doug and reading what I have by way of content on their website, I think it's a great place. You can check it out for yourself, citypresokc.com. One of the first things that you'll see when you go to the website is the logo for their church. It's a rooster clinging to a cross, and I love this image. I have reached out to the City Pres network there in Oklahoma and in Manhattan, Kansas, and they have given me permission to flagrantly plagiarize the logo, basically just steal it and use it for my kingdom work out here on the East Coast. Whatever God is brewing and doing here in Charlotte, North Carolina, specifically in the wacky world of East Charlotte, I'm happy to talk about Jesus using this particular image. And they graciously put our color scheme, East Charlotte Prez color scheme, on the logo. And so I'm just trying to put these images of this rooster clinging to a cross into circulation. And let me share with you my articulation of the story behind this image. So you know Cephas, Peter. Cephas was a good friend of Jesus, one of his closest friends, in fact. He was a devout follower of Jesus of Nazareth. And Cephas, at different points in time, in that three-year span specifically, where he's following Jesus, he's touring around with not only Jesus of Nazareth, but these other fishermen, and there's at least a tax collector in the group, and there's a political zealot in the group, these various guys from different walks of life. They live together, they travel together, they bunk together, they eat their meals together, they get in arguments with one another. And in the midst of that portion of Peter's life, you see at different times he resolves to know for a fact. He is absolutely resolute on this, that he is the best. He is the most faithful, courageous, most loyal follower of Jesus of Nazareth. And when our Lord Jesus told his core group of disciples that they would all fall away in accordance with what had been written, what had been prophesied, Cephas stands up and he emphatically disagrees with Jesus. He emphatically disagrees with a man who is never wrong. And he says, Peter says to Jesus, even though everybody else will fall away, I will never fall away. And you got to back up and sort of put yourself in Peter's shoes. Perhaps this is because Cephas has been given the name Petros. Jesus has bestowed the nickname Petros, which means the rock, onto Peter. And so Peter's thinking, I have to be the stable character in the story. His Petros paradigm, Cephas's paradigm for being the rock, is I will in a self-determined fashion be totally sufficient. I will be the strength of the group. And when the intimidating Roman soldiers come to arrest Jesus in the garden, you see something of Peter's resolve and determination. He takes his sword out and he attempts to behead a Roman soldier with other Roman soldiers standing around. Bear in mind, Peter's a fisherman. He's not a trained warrior. And yet he does exhibit some courage in this moment. He seems to be following through with his promise that he will stand with Jesus and lay his life on the line, even doing something so rash and foolish as brandish his sword and attempt to take off the head of a Roman soldier. But that's not what Jesus has in mind. As you know, that story I just mentioned, Jesus reattaches the man's ear. The man is able to dodge the beheading stroke of Peter, but Peter grazes his head, takes off the ear. Jesus reattaches the ear instantly, miraculously, and Jesus is very, very keen on this fact that Peter needs to learn that his role as the rock is not what he thinks. It is consistent with what the Apostle Paul would later talk about in his own life, where he writes to the church in Corinth and he says, I have a problem with being conceited. And so to keep me from becoming conceited, God sent me a messenger of Satan to harass me. He describes it as a thorn in the flesh. And this is in order to keep Paul from becoming conceited, and likewise, it is to compel Paul to accept the reality that God's grace is what develops sufficiency. God's grace is the sufficient factor of your life. It's not your self-determination. It's not your self-effort. It's not the ability of us to earn or create a scenario where we are entitled to whatever good thing God would give us. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And then subsequently, we find this paradox that we are invited to boast in our weakness so that the power of the crucified King may rest upon us. That's precisely how Paul describes it in the 12th chapter of his letter to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians. The King of Kings, Jesus Christ, alludes to true strength when he says to his friend Simon, he says, Simon, Simon, this is Peter, this is Cephas. He says, Simon, behold, Satan demands to have you, and he wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, implying that Peter will fall away, even though he has promised never to fall away. But when you have been humbled, when you have turned again after having fallen away, then you will have the right paradigm for strengthening your brothers. This paradigm of my power perfected through your weakness. That's what Jesus says to Peter. You see, not until Simon has heard his rooster will he be in any real shape to courageously strengthen his brothers. Not until Simon decides to know nothing except for Jesus Christ and him crucified will he be truly confident and secure. Some passages that I would invite you to explore: 1 Corinthians chapter 2, specifically verse 2, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, key in Mark 14, key in on chapter verses 3 through 9 and then 26 through 31. Likewise, Luke 22, 31 through 34, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And last but not least, I would invite you to contemplate John 21, the Gospel of John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. If you have time, questions, the desire to converse about any of those sections of God's Word, I'd love to chat with you. So reach out and we can share conversation and help each other to absorb and put into action the Word of God.